A slit on a black background opens up into blue sky and fluffy white clouds. Studio Canal. Blackness. A white stallion gallops out of darkness and develops wings, which it spreads wide. The stallion flies over rods of luminous light, which join to form the top of a letter T. TriStar Pictures. Blackness. Red letters on a black background. HBO Pictures, in association with Silver Screen Partners, presents a Feldman Mika production. A match is struck and illuminates the darkness. A man in shadow lights a cigarette and draws on it as he shakes out the match. Two sets of headlights move along a road set between jagged hills. The Hitcher. Rutger Hauer. C. Thomas Howell. And Jennifer Jason Leigh as Nash. Jim, the man who lit the cigarette, drives. He's dark-haired, pleasant-faced, and in his late teens. He blinks, drowsily. A VW Beetle behind Jim overtakes him. The Beetle speeds ahead into the dusky light. Jim, driving a saloon, idly checks his rearview mirror, then puffs on his cigarette and glances out of his side window. Wisps of smoke drift from his nostrils. Headlights illuminate the road markings. Clouds are silhouetted against a silvery blue sky. Jim nods off momentarily, but wakes with a jolt and blinks. Jim continues driving through the desolate, scrub-covered hills. Written by Eric Redd. Produced by David Bombic and Kip Aman. Directed by Robert Harmon. Jim sips from a thermos flask and smokes as he travels and listens to the radio.
It's 4:15 on a Saturday morning in the old house of town. This is Uncle Bruce here, going on with farm and market report, John. The station all El Paso listens to. Slaughter steers and heifers in the Midwest. Steady to 50 cents lower today. Choice 1,050 to 1,300 pounds. Slaughter steers 50 cents.
As torrential rain begins to fall, Jim screws the top back on his flask and puts it aside. He turns on the windscreen wipers.
Slaughter cows mostly steady except Omaha, not a board. Covering boning at 33 to 34.
Day is beginning to dawn. As Jim looks at the straight road ahead, the wipers move hypnotically from side to side. He begins to nod off again, and his head slowly slumps forward. Flaring headlights wake him as they bear down on him. Jim swerves and narrowly avoids an oncoming truck. Both vehicles continue on their way. Jim blinks and breathes and puffs out his cheeks. Looking shocked, he stubs out his cigarette in an ashtray on the dashboard. He composes himself and holds the steering wheel with both hands. Jim's eyes dart sideways as he catches sight of something. A hazy figure stands at the roadside, thumbing a lift. Jim stops ahead of the man, who's silhouetted in his rearview mirror. Jim turns off his radio. The man, who's wearing a long coat, jogs to the passenger door. It's locked. He knocks on the window.
My mother told me never to do this.
Jim smiles. The tall man gets in. Jim pulls away.
Bless you.
The man is handsome and in his 30s.
My name's Jim Halsey.
John, Ryder.
They shake hands.
So you want me to drop you off somewhere?
I'm getting your car wet.
Oh, this isn't my car. It's a driveaway. The guy who owns it's in San Diego.
Ryder mops his face and neck with a hanky.
So where are you headed?
got a smoke?
Yeah, sure.
Ryder dabs his mouth with the hanky. Jim checks his rearview mirror, then glances at his sopping wet passenger. He watches drips fall from the end of Ryder's aquiline nose and laughs.
You gonna tell me where you're going?
Yeah, sure.
Ryder puts the unlit cigarette in his mouth and stares at Jim coldly. Jim looks away and shuffles in his seat.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Just look.
Ryder looks away. Jim peers out and spots the rear lights of the Beetle stopped up ahead at the side of the road. Ryder clocks what he's looking at and rams his hand on Jim's right knee. They accelerate past the Beetle, which has someone in it.
What'd you do that for?
Ryder ignores him and lights the cigarette.
I asked you a question.
Scare you?
Ryder smiles. Jim looks away impatiently. Still in darkness, he pulls up in the lashing rain.
Look, I think you better get out now.
Ryder looks at him sharply.
The ride's over.
Ryder tilts his head and stares at Jim.
Goodbye.
Ryder puffs his cigarette and continues staring at Jim, who meets his gaze. Ryder turns away and opens the car door a fraction. He holds up the cigarette, studies it, then casually lets it drop to the ground before turning back round in his seat.
I'm gonna sit here.
He gives Jim a faint, menacing smile.
You're gonna drive.
A light on the dash signals door ajar.
Excuse me.
Jim turns to Ryder.
What was the matter with that car back there?
Why?
Said I saw some, that's all.
Lightning briefly illuminates Ryder's face. He has piercing blue eyes.
I ran out of gas.
So you need a gas station?
Would help.
Okay.
Ryder, unaware of the red warning light on the dash, smiles and looks away as Jim sets off again. His car's red taillights glow in the darkness.
Gas stations have cigarettes.
What about gas?
I don't need gas.
Jim looks alarmed.
What do you want? What's so funny?
That's where the other guy's at.
Who's the other guy?
The guy who was driving that car back there. The guy who picked me up before you did.
Was that him in the car?
Yeah, sure it was. Couldn't have walked very far.
Ryder blinks and stares at Jim expectantly.
Why's that?
Because I cut off his legs. And his arms. And his head.
Jim looks petrified.
And I'm gonna do the same to you.
Jim eyes Ryder fearfully. They drive on and approach roadworks. The road is reduced to a single lane. A workman holds up a stop sign and Jim pulls up. As the workman makes his way to Jim's window, Ryder opens a flick knife with a long blade.
Don't.
The workman knocks on the window. Ryder shoves the closed flick knife into Jim's crotch. Jim lowers his window.
What part of Illinois are you from?
What?
Your license plate.
Jim turns anxiously to Ryder.
Tell the man.
Chicago.
My wife's from Rockford.
You got a cigarette?
No.
The workman spots Ryder's hand in Jim's crotch.
All right, the road's clear now. Come on, get going, sweethearts.
Jim raises the window. Ryder winks at the workman and puckers his lips. Workmen wave Jim on as he drives. Heavy plant machinery sets to work. Jim's headlights flare through a misty patch as the car emerges from the roadworks.
You want to know what happens to an eyeball when it gets punctured?
The knife near Jim's eye.
Do you got any idea how much blood jets out of a guy's neck when his throat's been slit?
The knife presses against Jim's cheek.
What do you want?
Ryder moves closer.
I want you to stop me.
You got the knife. You'll stick me with it before I can do anything.
That's right. So what have you got to lose? Stop me.
Ryder presses the knife tip harder against Jim's cheek, then draws it over the skin.
Crying isn't gonna help.
Ryder prods Jim's stubbly chin with the blade.
Keep driving.
Please. I'll do anything.
Say four words.
Okay.
Say it.
Say what?
I want to die. Say it.
I don't know if I can say that.
Sure you can. Repeat after me. I.
I.
Want. Want.
What?
Two.
He taps Jim's chin with the blade.
Two.
Die. Die.
I don't want to die!
Jim clocks the warning light and pushes Ryder out on the move. Jim shuts the passenger door again and stares back at Ryder lying in the road. He checks his face in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah! 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 Ha
ha! Fuck you, buddy! Ha ha!
Jim drives on. In the early morning light, Ryder lies still in the middle of the long, straight road. His eyes open and he scans about. The knife is beside him. Ryder lifts his head slightly, looks at the road ahead, and smiles. He picks up the knife and staggers to his feet. Ryder's blonde hair is disheveled as he stands unsteadily, staring at the road ahead. White fluffy clouds in a blue sky hang above a dusty expanse of desert and mountains. A long straight road bisects the landscape. Jim, looking happy and relaxed, drives along the road. A shooting brake towing a boat overtakes Jim. Its roof rack is laden and there are a couple of kids in the back. Jim smiles, makes a gun with his fingers, and pretends to shoot them. The kids, a boy and a girl, have toy guns. They return fire and wave. Jim waves back. A teddy bear is held up in the rear window, and Jim pretends to shoot it. The bear waves. Ryder appears from behind it and gives a toothy grin. Jim's eyes widen in panic. He pulls out and draws alongside the shooting brake. The man driving and the woman beside him look puzzled. Jim lowers his window.
Shoot him.
The guy's a fucking nut in your car!
Kill him.
Move, that guy will kill you! Get your car! Move over!
An oncoming bus. Jim clips it and spins. Jim smashes his head against the steering wheel, hitting the horn. The bus driver runs towards him. Grimacing with pain, Jim drives off. Jim breathes heavily as he drives. He cranes his neck forward to peer at something. The shooting brake is stopped on the road up ahead. Jim pulls up. He climbs out of his car cautiously. Looking tense, he walks slowly and deliberately towards the shooting brake. The car is at an angle to the boat, as if it's jackknifed. Jim, wearing jeans, a hoodie and trainers, reaches the car. Unaware of stepping in a patch of blood, he peers in through the rear window. Blood drips out of the car onto his feet. Jim sprints back to his car, leaps in, and starts up. He opens the door again to throw up on the ground. Jim slowly straightens up in his seat again and closes the door. A dust storm rages as Jim drives into a town. He pulls up at a dilapidated gas station, gets out of the car, and heads into a large shadowy garage. Pigeons scatter as he enters. Jim walks tentatively through the junk that's strewn about. The wind causes a sign to fall over. Jim jumps and proceeds nervously past a derelict car. He spots an old phone on a wall and grabs the receiver. He bangs the switch hook. Trembling, he searches in his pocket for a coin. His coin is rejected. He slams down the receiver and walks anxiously through the drafty garage. Ryder appears. Jim gasps and steps back as Ryder studies him calmly, then holds out car keys. Jim swallows hard. Ryder throws the keys on the ground before Jim, dabs his forehead and mouth with his white handkerchief, then walks out. Standing in a shaft of hazy light which penetrates the gloom, Jim slowly reaches down to pick up his car keys. Jim braces himself and takes faltering steps towards the door. Jim's car is still at the pumps. Ryder stands at the roadside with his back to Jim. Dust swirls around Ryder as he thumbs a lift. Ryder gets into a pickup truck and it drives away. Jim runs after it. A shredded plastic bag bounces down the road. A long straight road cuts through a parched landscape. Jim, looking badly shaken, drinks from his thermos flask as he drives along the road. He scans about and sees a black object on the road's dusty verge. Jim drives on and takes another sip from his flask. Ryder rams him with the pickup that gave him a ride. Jim looks back over his shoulder as Ryder smashes into the back of him. Ryder sits casually at the truck's wheel and accelerates. Jim's car swerves. Ryder smiles smugly to himself. He shakes his head and veers off the road in a different direction. Jim pulls over at the side of the road in his dusty red car. From behind the wheel, he peers out through the passenger side window. He He bears a look of shocked anxiety as he watches the dissipating dust trail left by Ryder's pickup. Jim slowly turns to look down at the steering wheel. He bows his head. Jim drives the car over a rise in the road. He indicates left and turns into a gas station at the side of the road. He parks up by the pumps and climbs out. Walking stiffly against the wind, Jim makes his way towards the door. He pulls the bar but finds that it's locked. He makes his way along the glass front and finds an unlocked door, which he pushes open. Jim is confronted by another locked door. He spots a payphone in the kiosk beyond it. Jim heads out of the building and makes his way across the forecourt. Ryder's pickup crashes through a flimsy garage door and speeds towards the fleeing Jim. The pickup smashes through two pumps, spraying gasoline across the forecourt. Jim rolls along the wet ground. Jim struggles to get up, slipping on the gasoline as Ryder drives the pickup towards him. Ryder stops as Jim frantically scrambles backwards. Ryder holds a match out of the pickup's window. Jim gets up and makes a run for it as Ryder lights the match on the wing mirror. The match head burns and flickers in the breeze. Ryder drops the match, which hits the puddle of gasoline as Jim arrives at his car and gets in. As the gasoline ignites, Ryder backs up the pickup and drives away. A fireball erupts beneath the gas station's canopy as Jim winds his car windows up. The gas station is consumed by billowing explosions as Jim's car hares out of the smoke with its bonnet on fire. A bus makes its way along a desert road beneath a rising sun. On board, Nash, a pretty young blonde woman, gets up as the bus pulls into a stop.
Okay, see you at the board.
Okay, bye-bye.
Nash is the only passenger to disembark. The bus drives away. Nash stretches her arms, then crosses the road. She heads for a gas station cum diner, which bears the signs gas and eat. Nash unlocks the door to the darkened diner. She steps inside and heads for the service counter, which overlooks a row of booth-like tables by the window. She heads into the kitchen and turns on some lights. Nash turns on some more lights. Jim appears outside the door. He looks impatient.
For another 45 minutes.
Please, I need to use a phone.
Sorry, I can't let you in. We're closed.
No! Listen! Please, I have to call the cops.
What happened?
Look, I can't explain right now. I just need to use a phone.
Nash eyes the soaked and desperate-looking Jim.
Jack saw me doing this. He kicked my butt. Phone's around the corner. Go on.
You stink of gasoline. Were you in an accident?
Yeah.
Jim dumps his jacket down on the way to the phone. He puts a coin in and dials a number.
Hello, police. My name's Jim Halsey. I know who killed those people in that... Well, I picked this guy up hitchhiking and that same guy blew up that gas station. Jim Halsey. H-A-L-S-E-Y.
I'm at the Longhorn restaurant. It's right off of...
You do?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I won't go anywhere.
Jim hangs up, then grabs his bag and heads into the bathroom. Nash overheard his conversation. In the bathroom, Jim leans on the sink in front of the mirror.
Jesus.
He hangs his head, then looks up at his reflection. His face is dirty and his hair disheveled. A cheeseburger sizzles away on the grill in the kitchen. Stripped to the waist, Jim splashes water over his shoulders in the bathroom. He winces in pain, then grabs some paper towels. Nash puts a steaming plate of burger and chips on a service hatch in the diner. She goes through a door in the kitchen. In the bathroom, Jim zips up his bag and slings it over his shoulder, then leaves. In the diner, he peers through some slatted blinds.
You think the cops are gonna get here this quick? You got another thing coming. The guy got shot over there in the corner a couple months ago. It took him 45 minutes to get here with the ambulance. By that time, the poor guy was dead.
She brings Jim the burger and chips.
Just to the house. Actually, the cook's not here yet. It's the only thing I know how to make.
Thanks. It's real nice of you.
Everything gonna be okay?
I hope so.
Well, I sure look a whole lot better. Guess it's safe for me to smoke now, huh?
Standing behind the counter, she lights a cigarette with a match.
Sorry I gave you such a hard time, but you'd be surprised the kind of trash passes through here. How is it?
Real good, thanks.
My name's Nash.
Jim Halsey.
She smiles and they shake hands.
I really appreciate this.
Where are you from?
Chicago.
Where are you headed?
California. Yeah, how'd you know that?
That's where everyone's going. Hollywood?
No. San Diego.
I thought about moving to California. Jeremy owns this place. He's my cousin. And Uncle Jack, does the cooking. Like that, see? We're all kind of interrelated. It's kind of hard to just pick up and leave. But you never know.
Jim stares blankly at his plate.
My brother Bill is from Mars. Actually, we're all from Mars around here. We keep our spaceship out back. So, what planet are you from?
She smirks and puffs on her cigarette. Jim looks up suddenly.
What?
You haven't heard a word I said, have you?
Yes, I have.
It's okay. Go on, eat your cheeseburger. I had to get some stuff out of the freezer anyway.
She goes. Jim munches his chips. As Jim pops chips in his mouth, he absently watches the doorway to the kitchen. He lifts up another chip and bites into it, still eyeing the kitchen doorway. Jim brings his hand up to his mouth again. This time, he's holding a severed human finger. Jim looks down and double takes, then spits out some mushed up chips. He drops the finger and runs outside. He pukes as a cop car pulls up. Two cops get out aiming guns.
Stand where you are! Put your hands in the air and get down on the ground!
Wait a minute, he's in there! He's in there!
Get your ass on the cement or we open fire! I'm not gonna tell you again!
Jim looks incredulous, then lowers himself onto the ground face down as the younger of the two cops walks out from behind his car door and approaches the prone Jim.
Put your hands behind your back. Slow.
Jim complies and he grimaces in the dust as the young cop handcuffs him. He grabs Jim by the scruff of the neck and drags him over to the cop car. The young cop pushes Jim's face down onto the car's bonnet. The old cop pokes his revolver at Jim's neck while the young cop carries out a cursory search.
My wallet's in my pocket.
Shut up! We know how to do it.
The young cop rummages in Jim's back pocket and lays his findings on the bonnet. A black comb, a wad of cash, some keys, a matchbook and small change. He searches Jim's jacket and produces the flick knife with a yellow handle. He opens the bloody blade.
Jesus! Oh my God! He put that there!
Jim struggles.
Shut up! Don't move.
Jim looks appalled. Nash comes out.
What's going on? What'd you do to him?
Jim shoved in the car.
You keep to yourself.
Why are you arresting him?
Pick up that stuff. You know this guy?
Not really, no.
Well, then what the hell is he doing inside? Half the cops in the state are looking for this creep. Let's get this sack of shit out of here.
A trickle of blood at the edge of his mouth, Jim gives Nash a pleading look. She tries to avoid his gaze and fiddles with her hair. The cops get into the car and drive off. Nash stands watching them go. At a police station, Jim is interviewed by a sergeant who has a thick moustache.
Where's your driver's license, your ID? Where are your credit cards?
The guy I've been telling you about took my wallet and he planted the knife. My license was in my wallet. I don't have any credit cards.
Jim sits in a chair, staring straight ahead.
Those of you who took your vehicle registration, too.
The sergeant rolls up his shirt sleeves as he walks around Jim's chair.
It's a young kid like you driving such a fancy car. You steal it?
Jim has a prominent bruise at the edge of his mouth.
The car doesn't belong to me. It's a drive-away. I'm supposed to be delivering it to California. The guy's in San Diego.
What's his name?
The sergeant stops pacing. Jim looks up at him, then downwards as if ruminating. Then he looks up at the sergeant again. The sergeant resumes his pacing and perches on the edge of a desk.
I don't remember. But I know the number to the driveaway company. Why don't you call them?
Well, hell, son, you better start calling somebody, because you're in deep shit.
It's 312-399-2090. I know the number so well because I called them so many times. I was on their waiting list for a month. I wanted a car going to California. That's why it took so long.
Thank you for calling Midwest Driveaway. Our Chicago office hours are 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, closed Saturday and Sunday.
Well, now what are we going to do? You got one more call.
Call my brother, for God's sakes. He'll be home. It's 312-905-9044.
The sergeant nods to the old cop who's sitting at another desk. The young cop sits next to him. The old cop taps out the number on a push-button loudspeaker phone and turns up the speaker volume. He lifts his eyebrows at the sergeant. The sergeant stares at Jim intently, then nods to the old cop who clears the call. To the old cop.
Maybe they let it ring long enough.
Jim looks despairing.
Do I look like a killer to you?
The sergeant leans towards Jim confidentially.
I got some folks coming in from Austin tomorrow. I'm going to be really interested in talking to you. I'm going to give you a chance to get some rest. Get him locked up, hell, get him out of my sight.
The old cop claps Jim on the shoulder.
Let's go.
To the old cop.
Jack. That kid isn't a killer. Any fool could say that.
The old cop.
Okay, face front. Hold real still. Now turn to your right.
Jim's profile.
Steady. Make it your left.
Jim turns the other way.
Oh, well, those are real good. Your mom was gonna like those.
The old cop cuffs Jim.
Let's go.
The old cop opens the door leading to a narrow corridor of a dingy cell block and pushes Jim in front of him. Shafts of light stream through the bars on the windows, and Jim looks wistfully up at them. The old cop unlocks the gate of a cell furnished with a double bunk bed and decorated with grubby marks and graffiti on the wall. He shoves Jim inside and locks the gate.
You behave yourself now.
The old cop wears a check shirt and denims. He goes. Jim stands alone in his cell, looking stunned and disbelieving. He looks around the cell. There's a small hand basin against one wall. He sinks onto the lower of the two bunks and stares out through the cell gate at the sunlight. Then he lies back painfully on the bunk with one arm draped across his chest and stares upwards at the bunk above. The corridor of the cell block. Jim's eyes are closed. His head rocks back and forth on the grey bunk blanket as he sees images of his car journey. An image of the rainy road and Ryder hitchhiking. Jim stirs on his bunk. An image of Jim stopping the car and Ryder jogging after him. Jim grimaces in his sleep. An image of Ryder reaching the car and trying the door handle, then rapping on the window. Ryder opens the car door. Jim wakes, wide-eyed. He stiffly sits up on the bunk, wincing in pain. He runs his hand through his hair, then buries his face in both hands. He looks over to the cell bars and slowly stands, massaging his left shoulder. He ambles over to the cell gate. He looks up and down the cell block corridor, his expression calmer and less bemused than before. Then he leans his head against the bars on the gate. The gate swings open a few inches and Jim gapes at it. He pushes it open a little further and gazes through the gap between the gate and its frame. He peers down the corridor, then looks the other way towards the door of the cell block.
Hello?
He looks up and down the corridor while slowly inching the cell gate open.
Hello?
He creeps out of the cell and partially closes the gate behind him. He warily creeps down the corridor towards the cell block door. He glances back at the gate. The walls in the main part of the station are decorated in chocolate brown and beige. There's a thin yellow line painted down the middle of the floor. Jim warily leaves the cell block. Jim reacts to the noise. An Alsatian dog appears at the end of the corridor. It turns and looks at Jim, panting. The dog goes and Jim follows. He heads past a small office. Inside, papers are strewn across a desk. He passes a line of lockers and a pair of green chairs. The door to the main office is ajar. Through the crack, he can see the hind legs of the dog. He pushes the door open and heads inside. One wall of the office is divided up into alcoves separated by wooden partitions, and there's a long line of filing cabinets down the middle of the office. Jim rounds an alcove. The sergeant lies unmoving in a corner, covered in blood from a slit throat. The dog is up on its hind legs, lapping at the blood. Jim gags and puts a hand over his mouth. The young cop lies slumped against a wall, his chest a bloody mess. Jim vaults over a low partition. The old cop lies on his side beyond it, his eyes staring, encased in blood, and his revolver in his hand. Outside, a pair of cop cars speed towards the station. Jim takes the revolver and bolts out the back door as the cops arrive. Jim sprints for the shelter of large boulders on the hills behind the station. The cops find the station door locked. One tries to shoulder it, but it won't budge. Jim nears the top of the hill. A pale blue cop car and a copper colour unmarked car arrive in the station's parking lot. Jim sees them from above. He runs between two large boulders and gives the milling cops below anxious backward glances. Then he's over the brow and running through a rocky wilderness populated with scrub and scrappy bushes. The revolver in his hand hanging loosely at his side, he walks dejectedly across the semi-barren landscape. Approaching a road, Jim sees a building with peeling paint and a sign above the door that reads, Market. A green car shoots by. Jim stuffs the revolver into his jeans, zips up his jacket, and adopts an air of normality. Jim jogs across the road and goes to a phone booth outside the market. A cop car comes along the road. Inside the booth, he picks up the receiver and puts it to his ear. He tenses as the cop car pulls up in the forecourt in front of the market. Jim bursts out of the booth with the revolver as the cops get out of the car.
Stop!
Take her easy!
Tell me about it. Get over by the car.
The cops raise their hands in surrender as Jim waves the revolver at them.
Those cuffs on your belt? Take them off and lock your partner's hands behind his back.
You mean me?
I mean you.
Me?
You, yes, you!
A short, skinny cop cuffs his taller colleague.
Okay. We're gonna go for a little ride now. You two get in the front, I'll get in the back. When do you open the door?
Open the door, Jack.
The skinny cop opens the driver's door.
Get in the car! Okay, you and me, we're gonna get in together, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Ready? Steady. Go.
The taller cop gets in and slides onto the passenger side. Jack, the skinny cop, gets in the driver's seat and Jim slides in the back.
Can I close the door?
Yeah, shut the door.
Jack shuts the door.
Start the car. Head for the highway.
Jim aims the revolver at Jack's head and cocks the hammer. The cop car speeds onto the highway.
The house is 3305 again. The suspect had deluded one of my troopers out there.
Can you call out on that thing and get me connected with somebody in charge?
I'll try to get through to Captain Askeridge.
Okay, do it. But don't tell anybody where we are.
Jack uses the radio.
Central, this is
kind of... I said don't tell him anything.
Central, this is one of your cars and we have been hijacked by suspect. He wishes to speak to Captain Estridge directly, over.
Estridge 1011, we'll try to locate. Standby, 1012 El Paso clear.
Looking slightly less tense, Jim lowers the revolver and sits back in the car seat. The tall cop glances worriedly at Jack.
This is Captain Estridge. Do you read, over?
Jack hands Jim the handheld radio mic.
Captain, this is Jim Halsey. You gotta listen to me, Captain. I swear I didn't kill those people. I got set up and framed by this guy I picked up hitchhiking.
What do you suggest we do, son?
Come on, man, you tell me.
Why don't you stop things right now? You can just let my men go and give yourself up.
I don't have any identification. I don't have anybody to call for you to check me out.
Are you willing to lay down your arms and surrender? I promise you I'll do everything in my power to see to it that you're treated fairly.
A large black pickup truck draws up behind the cop car.
I'm putting my trust in you, Captain. Take us in.
Ryder's driving the pickup. He impassively shoots the tall cop in the head and Jack in the neck. The tall cop's head lolls out of the window with blood spurting from his wound. Jack clutches his neck. Jim reaches over from the back seat and struggles with the wheel of the car, which is out of control. Ryder drives off. The cop car weaves across the road before coming to a halt at the scrubby roadside. Jim crawls out of the car and runs.
No! 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 No!
Some distance from the car, he drops to his knees and rails against the desert sand. He giggles to himself and gets into a kneeling position. He aims the revolver in the air in front of him. He cocks the hammer of the revolver and points the barrel of the gun upwards against his chin, as if to blow his own head off. He grips the handle with both hands and looks calm. Then his face crumbles. He releases the hammer and tips forward so his forehead is in the dirt. Jim runs his fingers through the dirt and wipes his head and face with it. He looks up at the sky. The sun peeps from behind a cloud, making the surrounding sky appear a rich gold. He's momentarily transfixed by the sun. Then he gets to his feet and stands motionless. He moves off. Jim trudges past a tall wooden sign proclaiming Roy's Motel Cafe and vacancies in faded letters. He heads towards the cafe, past a line of white cabins. Inside, an elderly proprietor in a blue jacket is serving an old couple. He's wearing a check shirt and has wavy hair. She's wearing a pale pink cardi and a pair of horn-rimmed glasses. Inside.
Well, I know you caught something because you're probably the best dang fisherman around here. But if that's the best you can eat, I don't know what you're going to be able to do.
Well, that'll tide us over until
lunch. Yeah, well, looks to me like you must go.
Hey, better get on the road.
Yeah, I'll see you. Bye, Alice. Well, what happened to you?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing happened.
Unkempt Jim is covered in dust.
I need some coffee.
It's brewing.
To meet one of the booths.
You okay, kid?
No.
The proprietor shoots him a look and heads out into a kitchen. Jim goes over to an alcove adjacent to the cafe window and sits in one of the seats. Each of the tables has a mini jukebox holding menus and condiments. Jim glances out of the window, then runs his grimy fingers through his dusty hair. He wipes his face. A black-clad figure sits down opposite Jim. It's Ryder. Ryder smiles wryly.
How do you like Shitsville?
Jim draws the revolver under the table and gives a smile of satisfaction.
Don't you move. You stay seated right where you are. Or I'll blow your brains through your ass.
Ryder leans over and glances under the table.
The gun is empty.
Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah.
Jim looks uncertain and Ryder beams at him.
You never checked it, did you?
So help me, I'll blow you in half.
Ryder stops smiling.
All right. Squeeze the trigger.
I will.
Please.
Oh, I will.
Sure, shit better when I squeeze mine.
Ryder makes a fist in the shape of a gun under the table. Ryder whacks the underside of the table and Jim uselessly plucks at the revolver trigger. He recoils against the seat and his face dissolves into misery. Ryder makes a sympathetic face. Jim recovers and stares.
Why are you doing this to me?
Ryder looks thoughtful, then he reaches over and grabs Jim's jacket. Ryder pulls Jim towards him and cups a hand around the back of the young man's neck. He locks eyes with Jim. He takes a penny and licks it and puts it on one of Jim's eyelids. He takes a second penny, licks it, then dabs it on Jim's lip before putting it on Jim's other eyelid.
You're a smart kid. Figure it out.
He lets Jim go and Jim remains motionless. Ryder slides a bulky piece of cloth across the table to Jim, then gets up and goes. Jim leans forward, tipping the pennies off his eyelids onto the tabletop. A large blue and white coach is pulling up at the petrol pumps in the motel forecourt outside the cafe. Jim opens the bundle. It contains the missing revolver slugs. The motel proprietor looks out from the kitchen. Jim closes his fingers around the bullets and gathers them up. A couple of the bullets drop to the floor. He scoops them up. Passengers disembark from the coach as Jim leaves the cafe. Jim makes a circuit of the coach and hovers at the front. The coach door is parallel with his old window seat. He looks into the cafe. A big man with glasses and black slicked back hair is sitting in his seat. The guy opens a file and taps at a calculator, engrossed in his work. Jim sneaks on board the coach and heads down the aisle to the toilet. Inside the loo, he takes out the revolver and inspects it. He pushes and turns the bullet chamber of the gun. He pulls the trigger and the hammer starts to cock. He frowns in concentration, then figures out how to release the bullet chamber from the gun. It swings and he turns it with his fingers. The passengers reboard the coach. Jim reacts to the sound of the passengers. He loads the bullets into the chamber and snaps it back into place. He reacts as the coach engine fires up. It's rest break over. The coach pulls away from the motel forecourt and hits the freeway. Ryder's black pickup follows, then zooms after it at speed. The coach seats are upholstered with a plush blue material. The toilet is near the back, and a red light glows to show it's occupied. The light goes out, the door opens, and Jim emerges. He looks down the bus, half empty with passengers, and slips quietly onto the back seat. He steals a look down the aisle of the bus. All he can see are the backs of the seats, backs of heads, shoulders, and arms. Jim frowns. A red-headed woman leans over to a fellow passenger with a cigarette. It's Nash. She gets up and heads towards the toilet. At the last moment before going in, she spots Jim. Jim bundles her into the loo and clamps a hand over her mouth and puts the gun to her head. The big man shoots the toilet a curious look. Inside.
I didn't do it. I didn't do any of it. I'm not gonna shoot anybody. I'm not a killer.
He takes away his hand and lowers the gun.
This morning, this guy tried to kill me. He's been following me ever since. I don't know why. Do you believe me?
She gives him an uncertain look.
Sure. Yeah.
No, you don't. I wouldn't either. Let's go sit down.
She opens the toilet door. The coach drives along the freeway. On the back row of seats, Jim sits staring ahead. Boxed in by a window, Nash stares at him and taps the headrest of the seat in front with frustration. She sees a cop car pulling alongside. Nash shoots Jim a look. The cop car overtakes the coach with lights flashing. On the coach...
What are you gonna do?
Give up. I have no choice.
The coach and cop car pull onto the roadside and stop. Jim calmly walks down the aisle of the coach towards the driver. Outside, a cop in a check shirt, Stetson and sunglasses has a weapon drawn and aimed at him. A deputy leans on the bonnet of the car with his weapon primed.
Nice and easy, come on.
Step down.
Jim tosses the gun out.
All right, step down.
Jim puts his hands behind his head and gets off the coach.
Turning myself in.
Get out from behind the door. Step away from the bus. Get down. Move. Move your ass now.
Giving up and I'm not guilty.
The officer points his weapon in Jim's face.
You just wasted two of my friends.
The passengers on the coach watch from the windows. To Jim.
You spit on my wrist.
What?
I said you spit on my wrist. Wipe it off. You can see I'm unarmed.
Wipe it off.
Come on, Lyle, go easy.
Shut up!
I'm just getting back to the station.
I said shut up!
Wipe it off!
Put the gun down.
Lyle shakes his head and aims his weapon.
God damn you.
Drop your guns! Don't turn around! Just drop!
Nash fired a warning shot with the revolver.
I can't believe you were gonna do what you were gonna do.
Don't you know who he is?
You got the wrong man, Lyle.
Back here we do. Now just settle down and...
Don't come any closer.
Hand me that gun.
Nash shoots the ground. Jim grabs the cop's guns.
Just empty them. You're in enough trouble already.
You just threw your life down the toilet.
When the truth comes down, I'll be just fine. I'm taking the sheriff's office in Riley. You stay put. Let's go. Let's go!
Jim empties the slugs from the cop's guns and throws the weapons into the scrubland. He and Nash get into the cop car. Ryder's black pickup is parked some distance away. He's sitting with an arm draped across the steering wheel and his revolver is on the dashboard. He watches Nash and Jim drive away, then picks up the gun and inspects the full bullet chamber. In the cop car...
Now what?
We're going to Riley.
Jim drives, his eyes fixed on the road ahead. Nash looks out the back window. There are two cop cars in pursuit, occupying both lanes of the freeway.
Do you know how to use the radio?
Look, I better let you out here.
No, it's not in the car with you. They're not going to hurt you. We talked to them by radio.
Yeah, what are you going to say?
Say that we're going to turn ourselves in.
He looks unsure and checks the rearview mirror.
Fuck your seatbelt. Do mine.
Nash straps herself in, then clips Jim's seatbelt buckle into place. He squeezes the gas pedal. The car's speedo creeps past 85. Nash gets on the radio.
Hello! Three people want to turn ourselves in! We're turning ourselves in! Three people, over! Listen to me this time! We are turning ourselves in! Can you read me? We just want to turn ourselves in!
As cop cars gain on the fugitives, cops lean out and take shots at them. Jim steps on the gas. One of the cops has a shotgun. To Nash.
Get the gun! Use it!
No, I'm not going to shoot anybody!
Aim for the tire!
No!
They're going to kill us!
One of the wing mirrors was shot off.
Use it! Use it!
No!
Shoot him!
A searchlight is shot out. The cop with the shotgun shoots the rear bumper from Jim and Nash's car.
Shoot back!
Nash winds down the window and aims the revolver. A cop shoots off the blue light and she drops the gun. It rolls in the dirt.
Drop the gun.
You what?
A cop leans out of the car behind them and fires. The shotgun blast takes the driver's side door off Jim's car. Jim struggles for control. Nash struggles with the locked shotgun on the dashboard as Jim sends the speedo up to 100. The chasing cops flank Jim's car. The cop with a shotgun on the left takes aim at Jim's front wheel. Jim hits the brake. The cop fires too late and takes out the other cop's front wheel. Both cop cars flip onto their sides. Both light blue cop cars flip end over end along the tarmac, losing their sirens and lights along the way. The tumbling cars come to a stop, standing upright on their wheels. Dust settles around the crumpled vehicles.
Are you okay?
Jim starts his car and it rolls forward slowly with its red and blue lights flashing up top.
Are you okay?
The wind ruffles Jim's hair as they drive past the crash site. Nobody moves inside the two stricken cop cars. Jim picks up speed. Nash turns around in the passenger seat and looks back at the cops. Swirling streaks of dust dissipate on the road's surface in the car's wake. Nash looks at Jim and rolls her eyes, then puts a weary hand up to her forehead. The road ripples over hills through the scrubby desert landscape. Jim and Nash drive up a steep gradient. As they reach the top, a police chopper appears over the brow of the hill. The chopper banks and turns as it passes above Jim's car. A marksman points an automatic rifle out of the chopper's door.
Go, bitch!
The car seems to struggle to beat 55 as the chopper flies up behind them. The marksman opens fire, opening the car's boot. The chopper swings past the car and banks around as Nash clutches her forehead. The marksman fires at and hits the car's windscreen. Steam rises up from the engine. More cop cars join the pursuit. The chopper rears up behind Jim and Nash. On the raised ground to their right, riders' pickup keeps speed with Jim's car. Sitting at the wheel, Ryder looks casual. He points a gun at the chopper. Nash spins round to look. Jim glances sideways. A cigarette clutched between his lips, Ryder fires more shots at the chopper, which wavers in the air. Smoke belches from the chopper's body, and it lurches downwards. The chopper's blades fail and it drops. The chopper explodes. The first cop car hits the billowing fireball and flips on the road. The next car screeches sideways as the first car rolls in midair while on fire. Another cop car mounts the steep bank at the edge of the road. Nash and Jim stare at Ryder's pickup. Ryder lights his cigarette and veers right, driving off into the desert. In the fleeing bust-up cop car, Nash looks round at a horrified Jim, who sinks lower in the driver's seat and focuses on the road ahead. With the boot flung open and four bullet holes in the windscreen, Jim pulls the car over at the side of the deserted road.
Come on, let's get out of here.
Jim stumbles through the gap by the driver's seat. Nash climbs out of the passenger side.
Why didn't he kill us?
Let's go.
Jim tugs at Nash's sleeve, then marches off.
Why didn't he kill us?
Jim turns and looks at Nash.
Let's go.
Nash hurries after Jim, who reaches out and helps her up the gravelly slope. Jim and Nash trudge past a water tower and a desert windmill. They spot a huddle of buildings and parked trucks in the near distance. Jim takes Nash's hand, and they hurry across the desert floor towards the setting sun. windmill's rusty sails creak in the wind. Jim sits up on a bed in a motel room. He stares blankly ahead. Nash stands nearby looking anxious. Jim looks round at her.
Are you okay?
With her arms folded, Nash nods abruptly.
Why'd you pick him up?
Jim adopts his thousand-yard stare.
I wanted to help him. And I was tired. I thought he'd help me stay awake.
Can I sit by you?
Nash sits on the edge of the bed and looks at Jim. She picks up the phone.
What are you doing?
I want to call my father.
No, no calls.
It's only my father.
I said no calls. Not until we figure out what we're going to do.
I can explain it.
It's not that simple. I've already tried.
They share a look as the lights from passing vehicles flare through the net curtains. Jim lights a cigarette with a match.
Thanks.
Jim hands the cigarette to Nash, who has a puff and exhales smoke. Jim reaches out and tenderly strokes Nash's cheek. Outside, the rusty windmill turns against the pink and blue night sky. Jim and Nash lie asleep side by side above the covers in their room. Jim wakes with a start as a car pulls away outside. Nash is awake, facing away from Jim.
Nash? You awake? Nash?
He taps her shoulder. She closes her eyes. Jim turns the bedside light off. Jim rubs his face. He still bears a thick red graze at the corner of his mouth. He gets up and heads across the room. Jim turns off another light, then turns on the TV.
Open a rock! Let's head him out!
He quickly turns it off again as Nash shudders slightly on the bed. Jim turns on the bathroom light and goes inside. He carefully shuts the door, watching Nash, who lies on her side on the bed. Alone in the darkness, Nash lifts her head up off the pillow. She picks up the phone receiver and dials a number. In the bathroom, Jim starts the shower and hangs his jacket on a hook on the door. In the bedroom...
No, I'm okay. I'm okay. I just want you to know where I am.
In the bathroom, Jim takes off his shirt and painfully lifts his muddy white long-sleeved vest over his head.
Everybody's got this whole thing wrong. No, I sound funny, but I'm okay.
Jim gets in the shower cubicle and stands by the spray. He holds his hands under the water and splashes some onto his face. In the bedroom, Nash looks at the phone receiver for a moment, then puts it back on the hook. She settles her head back on the pillow and shuts her eyes. Jim turns round in the shower. In the darkened bedroom, Nash lies asleep with her face against the pillow. As a vehicle passes by outside, the room is briefly illuminated. Ryder stands by the bed, glowering down at Nash. Jim turns off the shower and steps out. He grabs a towel. In the bedroom, a sweaty-looking Ryder lies back on the bed. He stares at the ceiling. Ryder looks round as Nash stirs beside him. In the bathroom, a bruised-looking Jim checks, then ditches his filthy vest. On the bed, Ryder cuddles up behind Nash, resting his head on her shoulder tenderly. Jim puts his check shirt on. As Jim dons his pants in the bathroom, Nash reaches up and strokes Ryder's fingers as he touches her shoulder. She hesitates, then looks round. Ryder claps a hand over her mouth. Wearing his jeans and leather jacket, Jim ties the laces on his white Nike trainers in the bathroom.
The Apostle Paul taught us to look within ourselves with the very spirit of faith.
Nash.
We must look to nature where the spirit is replenished daily. I'm Reverend Hollis Maxwell, inviting you to visit the church this Sunday.
Nash.
This is Channel 3, KCIK Television in Fabens, Texas, licensed by the FCC, Washington, D.C., ending its broadcast day.
Nash!
We invite you to join us tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Looking wide-eyed with panic, Jim pulls the towel rail off the wall and flings the bathroom door open. The motel room door is wide open and static plays on the TV. Clutching the towel rail, Jim marches out of the room into the car park. Two massive container trucks roll by in the near distance. Jim scans around and heads over to some parked trucks. His slender, snake-hipped silhouette passes through the headlights of a truck behind him. Jim heads past four or five parked trucks, then stops between the last two. He slowly makes his way down the passage formed by the high-sided trailers. Still clutching the towel rail, Jim breaks into a run. He stops as a cop car hears past in front of him. Another cop car speeds past. Jim presses himself back against the cab of the truck. Jim runs back the way he came. A cop grabs him.
All right, don't hurt him, man. You take it easy now. Are you Jim Halsey?
Who are you?
I'm Captain Estes. Spoke on the radio.
Where is she?
You come on along with us now. We're going to need your help.
Estridge and another cop lead Jim across the car park past some more cops pointing weapons at the cab of a truck. Nash is tied by the wrists and ankles between the cab and the trailer. Jim rushes forwards.
Please! No!
Why don't you do something? Fucking do something!
We can't!
No!
Hold it!
In the cab, Ryder squeezes the accelerator. Jim struggles with Estridge and the cop.
Do something!
If we shoot him, his foot is going to come off that clutch and that truck is going to roll. Now you get in there and you see what you can do.
Nash, who is wearing a gag, struggles against the ropes around her bleeding wrists. Jim approaches the cab of the truck. He opens the passenger door and warily peers up into the cab, where Ryder sits staring at the wheel. Sweat drips off Ryder's face. Jim climbs into the passenger seat and shuts the door. Ryder looks round at Jim and smirks.
She's sweet.
Ryder revs the engine, then places a gun on the seat between them.
The gun is loaded.
Jim glances at the gun.
Go for it. Please.
we hit, pick it up.
Jim stares wide-eyed at Ryder and quakes with fear.
Tell you what, I'll let you hold the gun on me before I do anything.
They'll catch you.
Yeah, sure. So what?
As Ryder revs the engine, Nash struggles, her body suspended between the cabin trailer.
Pick up the gun!
Jim reaches for the gun.
Put it in my face. Right there.
Ryder faces Jim and points to his forehead. Jim complies.
That's good. You know what to do. Now do it. Squeeze the trigger.
Jim stares at Ryder, open-mouthed.
She'll die.
Ryder looks up from the gun and frowns at Jim, then sits back slowly in the driver's seat. Ryder calmly takes the gun back from a trembling Jim.
You useless waste.
He pumps the accelerator. The truck inches forwards. Nash wails in agony. Estridge looks panicked in the cab. Ryder drives the truck forwards, wrenching Nash's wrists. A police doctor shines a light into Jim's eye in an office.
I can't tell you how sorry I am for you, son.
Jim stares blankly ahead.
Anything I can do for you?
Jim shakes his head and pinches the bridge of his nose.
When you're finished here, you should probably go see a real doctor and get a complete checkup. We all know there's nothing you could do.
Jim puts his shirt on. Jim is with Estridge, looking in interview room. Uniformed troopers lead Ryder into the interview room.
Who is he?
We don't know. No prison record, no driver's license, no birth certificate. We ran his prints through the computers. We came up with nothing. I know that we'll find something, but right now I don't even know his name.
Ryder sits opposite a balding cop in a suit. Ryder's lips are pale.
How do you feel?
Tired.
You can't see us or hear us.
Jim paces towards the two-way mirror.
I want to talk to him. What's your name? Come on. What's your name?
Estridge steps up behind Jim as the interrogating cop stands and approaches Ryder.
Do you have a name?
John.
Ryder turns slowly and looks at the mirror. Estridge looks round at Jim.
What'd you say?
His name is John Ryder. Do you have a police record?
Ryder looks at his interrogator. Jim follows Estridge from the viewing gallery.
Where are you from?
Disneyland.
How long do we have to play this game?
Y'all give me a minute.
Estridge steps into the interview room.
Come on.
Estridge ushers Jim inside. Ryder clocks Jim and looks surprised. Ryder's piercing, blue-eyed gaze seems softer as he watches Jim's progress around the table. Jim stares dispassionately at Ryder as he approaches, then stops and stands before him. Estridge and the interrogator look on anxiously. Jim offers Ryder his hand to shake. With cuffs around his wrists, Ryder puts both of his hands around Jim's outstretched one. Jim cocks his head as he looks into Ryder's eyes, then spits into Ryder's face.
All right, that's enough there. Bad idea in the first place.
Estridge hustles Jim out. Jim eyeballs Ryder as he goes. Looking calm and faintly raising an eyebrow, Ryder wipes the spittle from his face with his hands. He wears a fixed, tight-lipped grin as he rubs his fingers together. Later, Ryder is led down a wide corridor by a posse of armed cops. More cops hold a crowd of reporters at bay by a parked bus outside the station. Jim smokes a cigarette in the car park. He looks up as Ryder is led outside. Estridge leads Ryder and his guards to the bus as Jim looks on. Estridge heads over towards Jim. They stand together and watch Ryder as he's ushered onto the bus. Ryder keeps his eyes on Jim as he takes a seat by a cop on the bus, which has wire mesh across the windows. Jim hangs his head and winces as Estridge gets in his police 4x4. Jim flicks the cigarette, then joins Estridge in the 4x4. The prison bus pulls out of the station car park in dim daylight. Estridge's 4x4 heads off in a different direction. On board the bus, Ryder fingers his chains and hums. He stares out of the back window. Ryder watches a cop tap his fingers against his shotgun, then clocks the pistol in a holster at the cop's side. In Estridge's 4x4.
Are you okay?
Jim looks round at Estridge through narrowed eyes.
You'll never hold them. Alright, you listen up now and you listen good, son. There's something strange going on between the two of you. I don't know what it is. I don't want to know. But I'm telling you, he is in our hands now. And whatever happens to him, it won't be decided by you. Doesn't have anything to do with you anymore. Okay.
Estridge gives Jim a hard glare, then looks back at the road. Jim leans his head on his hand, then glances down at Estridge's holstered gun. Jim sits up straight in the passenger seat.
Can I have one of your cigarettes?
Sure.
Jim grabs the gun from Estridge's holster and points it at Estridge's head.
Stop the car.
Estridge manages to stay calm.
You're not going to use that thing.
Stop the car. And don't do anything stupid.
Estridge pulls the car over as Jim holds the snub-nosed pistol to the sergeant's head. He looks round at Jim.
All right. What's on your mind?
Get out.
You're gonna get yourself killed. And if you don't, you're gonna be in a whole lot of trouble.
I'm sorry, sir. It's something I gotta do.
No, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I do.
With a resigned expression, Estridge opens the driver's door. Jim spins the 4x4 round and speeds back the way they came, leaving Estridge at the side of the road. The wind blows Jim's hair as he motors along the straight desert road. A cop shuffles cards on board the prison bus. As the cop deals out two hands, Ryder looks up at the roof of the bus. In Estridge's 4x4, Jim knocks the chamber into place on the pistol and wipes his forehead with his wrist. He puts the gun down on the seat beside him and grips the wheel with both hands. He drives up behind the moving prison bus. On board, Ryder fires the shotgun. Ryder shoots the back door open. Jim aims the pistol at Ryder, who leaps from the doorway. Ryder crashes through the windscreen. Jim drops his gun, then the bus veers off the road and tumbles down a steep, sandy bank.
Hi, kid.
He grabs Jim. Jim hits the brakes and Ryder goes flying through the broken windscreen. Dropping the shotgun, Ryder rolls along the tarmac and collapses in a heap. In the 4x4, Jim lifts his head off the wheel and gingerly rubs his hair with his hand. Streaks of blood adorn Ryder's face as he lifts his head. He looks round and spots the shotgun on the road behind him. Ryder hauls himself to his feet as Jim groggily gathers his senses in the 4x4. Ryder reaches down for the shotgun. Jim's eyes widen as he spots Ryder. He quickly tries the ignition. Jim pumps the accelerator as Ryder woozily brings the shotgun to bear on the 4x4. Jim ducks beneath the dashboard as Ryder's shot blows out the rest of the glass from the windscreen. Ryder ejects the empty shell. Jim reaches up to the ignition. Ryder blows out a headlight.
Come on!
Ryder paces towards the 4x4, firing off shots. Jim shields himself from falling debris, then tries the ignition again. He frantically pumps the accelerator as Ryder fires at the police lights. Ryder peers arrogantly at the 4x4 as Jim turns the key again. Ryder remains still and defiant.
Come on!
Jim sits up and speeds the 4x4 at Ryder. Ryder goes flying and lands in a twisted, twitching heap in the sand. Jim watches from the driver's seat as Ryder looks up from the ground, his face covered in blood and sand. Ryder's head drops and his breathing stops. Jim sits up slowly in the 4x4. He opens the driver's door and gets out. Leaving the door open, Jim walks towards Ryder. In the background, the mountains rise up above wind-rippled sand dunes. Jim picks up the shotgun off the road. He paces towards Ryder, who lies with his eyes closed, his head on the ground. Jim steps in front of the glaring sun and stares down at Ryder. He prods Ryder's back with the gun. Jim kicks Ryder in the shoulder, but the hitcher remains still. Jim brushes the barrel of the shotgun over Ryder's face and hair. Jim turns around and walks slowly back towards the 4x4. Ryder stands up and throws his cuffs at Jim. The cuffs land on the road. Ryder straightens behind Jim. Ryder smiles through bloodied teeth as Jim turns and fires. Blood spurts from Ryder as he stumbles backwards. Smoke rises in front of Jim as Ryder drops down the sandy bank at the roadside. Ryder trudges back towards Estridge's 4x4. Staring blankly, he leans on the window of the open driver's door, closing it in the process. ITFC audio description written by Helen Vasey, Ian Williams, and Alex Newman was read by Alex Newman.